And next thing you know, you're in the restroom and the video is on and people are trying to message you and you're not paying attention, etc. So
there will always be somebody stronger, faster, and smarter than you. Surviving depends on your adaptability to change. Those who are the most adaptable are dialed in.
Hey, we got another great conversation, the future of work with 8x8. 8x8 is clearly one of the forefront leaders of the collaboration space, especially with what they've done with Microsoft and just making collaboration better and invisible in some cases for the end user. Frank, who do we have with 8x8 today?
Hey, we have Jason Weezer with us. He is basically, he's an evangelist and channel guy with 8x8. And what I love about his DNA is that it's like firmly grounded in sales engineering. And that means that he's spoken to customers. He understands their pain. He also knows how to solution. Let's have him on board.
Yeah, Jason, come on up. Hey, Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me. I appreciate appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump right into the first question without skipping a beat here. What is the most cringeworthy COVID phrase that you've grown tired of?
You know, there's a lot of them out there. I think from my perspective right now, the thing that I've grown most tired of, honestly, is when I hear people call this the new normal. I think that, you know, we've made changes. Every organization has across the board. You've been forced to make changes to the workforce and how people interact on a daily basis. But my thought is at some point, this is not going to be the normal anymore. And eventually my hope is that we do get back to doing business to an extent the way that we did it before. I mean, a lot of us got into this world into this business to be with people, be in front of people, shake hands, kiss babies, et cetera. And doing it all via video at times is challenging. So if I had to pick just one phrase that is just cringeworthy to me, it's the new normal. Cause I'm ready to get back in person again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think we've been hearing it less and less though, right? Or is it just me? Or have I already tuned it out?
I think people are getting shamed from using it. What's really funny is I saw one of the, here in Austin, we have these Alliance members that walk around the downtown streets and they kind of like keep things, you know, nice and tidy. And I was talking with one this weekend and I said, oh, how are things, you know, looking out there? And he goes, well, I'm picking up a lot of trash and I'm wiping a lot of graffiti off of walls. He goes, it looks like normal and we're getting back to normal. So I think maybe as we look at that, like maybe for some people, their worlds have like completely changed. Like they will never be the same. But for some people, it's going to get back to something that kind of felt like it did before.
Yeah, that's true. Industry specific, probably for sure.
Absolutely. I think it's all relative to what we're used to, but I am looking forward to being able to do some of the things that we did in the past.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I can't wait for that either. Next question. What is the most surprising story you've had or heard since the start of what we call the Great Reset?
Yeah, so this is a really good question because I know we're in a business podcast, so I think everyone's heard the stories that are certainly inappropriate. I think I'm going to stay away from those just because I don't want to get in trouble or get the follow-up calls from any customers with regard to those. But, you know, I think everyone has experienced somebody bringing a phone call into a place that you're not supposed to, whether it's the bathroom or you're cooking, et cetera. And I think that's, you know, it's dependent on the situation and who's involved, right? When you're supposed to be engaged and having those conversations, you think your video's off, and next thing you know, you're in the restroom and the video is on, and people are trying to message you, and you're not paying attention, etc. So, you know, having been on a call where a coworker had a situation like that, I would have to say, personally speaking, that was the most interesting one that I've had to experience personally, not getting into some of the crazy stuff as I had alluded to in terms of hearing some of the funny stories that you come across online.
No, absolutely. I think we've heard some of those as well. And you know, if it's that, like answering your video call in the bathroom, or, you know, arguing with your spouse over a Zoom conference at the PTA meeting on accident, right? Like some of the stories that have came through are just kind of just like, you know, that's what we are. We're now, are we working from home or are we living at work? Right. You know, probably living at work a little bit more. Frank.
Absolutely.
Cool. Next question. How is your company culture pre-COVID versus now?
So pre-COVID, my team and from a company standpoint, we were very much customer focused, wanted to be in person, wanted to have conversations face to face, etc. As I think most companies were. You know, it wasn't uncommon for me to be on a plane multiple times a week, be in multiple different time zones, and that extended to my staff as well. So I think that has changed. Now, the biggest thing that I saw from my standpoint, from a culture, is that, you know, before Mondays and Fridays were always reserved for, or pseudo reserved, if you will, for kind of admin days. And those were the days that we stayed in the office and, you know, we were able to catch up on expense reports and do those sorts of things. And now, Tuesday through Thursday, has now become kind of those mandatory in-office days as we've made that shift from home. So that's more on the personal level or the work personal level, if you will. But from a overall company culture standpoint, I think we've really made the shift over to much more employee-centric. We've started to ask the questions of how are you doing from a personal standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a family standpoint. We've started to interact programs that allows for stay-at-home parents or parents who are working from home, where they've got their kids who are now staying at home. So things like relationship with care.com, where we help provide tutoring service to at-home students while their parents are working, things along those lines where we didn't have to deal with that in the past, right? Kids went to school, you were able to send them away. And even if you were working from home, you were allowing them to or you had the ability to have a quiet workspace. Now, a lot of the children haven't gone back to school. If they have, it's remotely. And so parents are having to juggle. And so putting in programs in place that allow for that to happen and allow for people to kind of learn from best practices in something that's not normal to them has been a big differentiator. And then the last thing I'll say is more along the lines of some programs that we rolled out internally around like ergonomics. There's a really neat thing that most of our employees are engineers and things along those lines, contact center. They always went to the office, and so they didn't have nice homework environments. They didn't have the nice chairs and the desks that were ergonomically necessary. And so we've been able to kind of roll out a program where we'll ship them desks, we ship them additional monitors, change out their chairs. There's different camera angles that we have the employees take to be able to see what their office environment is like so they can minimize the stress to their body, et cetera. So really a holistic approach that the company has taken to really create an environment that's inclusive of everybody and to ensure that we're protecting our people, which are our most valuable asset.
That's awesome. I love that commentary. It seems to a certain degree, like as an organization, maybe you've kind of like taken this as an opportunity to get better. I've got two kind of pointed questions for you here coming out of this, and don't worry about it. Only a few thousand people listen to this, so it's not going to get back to anybody, but here's the deal. Like, how would you rate like your leadership's response to COVID and people? That's number one. Number two, how would you assess that the response to COVID is going to change your product?
So in response to question one, I think the response was as good as it could have been, right? I mean, no one has ever been in a situation like this where we didn't have the knowledge that we have even now. And it's changing. What we know today is probably going to change in a couple of weeks again, right? So I think from our leadership perspective, the thing that we did that really was beneficial was we asked our people, right? So we surveyed not only outside of the organization, but then we talked to people. How is it going? What are the things you're challenged with? Basic things like, well, I don't have the bandwidth to be able to do my job at home, right? Like that's something that before somebody, you know, maybe they only needed 20 megs of internet, right? Because they weren't streaming video all day long and they weren't home. Now all of a sudden you need 100 megs. And so, okay, right. Great. Let's put processes in place, or, you know, we'll allow you to up your internet, et cetera, to be able to accommodate that, to have a good work from home environment. So I think, you know, to the leadership is only as good as the information that we as the organization or their employees are providing. And our leadership does a really good job listening and then acting on that information.
Awesome. And what about your product? You think that that's going to evolve?
Our product is continually evolving, right? So the good part about our product is that we were a telecommunications company. We are, I should say, that has video. And so we, prior to the pandemic happening, we had the video platform and we saw significant growth, and we've seen significant feedback in terms of what it is that we need to change. And we're making those changes on the fly. So the engineering team is taking real-time information. We're constantly doing product enhancements, trying to make sure that we're pivoting and being able to react to the customers out there that say, hey, these are the things that we need now that we're at this at-home environment. So in short, yes, the product will 100% continue to evolve. We're an engineering company first. That's where we were founded. And our focus continues to be, as we've made the transition into really being a sales-focused company.
Awesome. Awesome. No, excellent stuff. With respect to culture, right? How would you say like employee morale has evolved through this process?
I think employee morale has been very up and down, and it's dependent on the organization and the time that we talk about it. Right. You have the external factors that are impacting us. You've got the internal factors that we can somewhat control from a work environment, et cetera. And then you have the things like the political unrest and all the other stuff that's causing havoc that are very personal to specific people. So it's very dependent. And I think depending on when you ask and how you ask is going to be indicative of the answer you get. The biggest thing is, from a leadership perspective, is that you listen, right? You ask the question and then let your people talk. And then from there, you can gauge kind of that understanding and figure out how to follow up with that.
Very well said. Very well said. All right, Jason, next question here. What is your vision for the actual future of how we work?
I think it's going to be a hybrid model. I think we are going to continue to see that video conferences are going to, and video meetings are going to continue to be at the forefront. But I also think that there are going to be situations where there's going to be a face-to-face interaction. I think one of the things that is going to be the biggest outcome of this is we aren't going to have those 12-legged sales meetings that we used to. I recall at some of the companies I worked at the past, where you'd bring in 12, 15 different people within the company to talk about each respective product, and you'd fly these people in, and then there may be three or four customers. I think we've gone away from that now, especially given the pandemic. And I think those types of conversations are going to be much more one-to-one interaction, and they're going to be done via video. And then you'll still have kind of that relationship building that'll be done throughout the sales cycle face-to-face. But I think that there's absolutely going to be a hybrid model. And I think it's going to be relative to the industry that the customers are selling into, or the customers are leveraging as well.
So Jason, what you're saying is because we're suffering all this digital video fatigue, that we no longer need the pre-meeting for the meeting followed by the post-meeting and the post-post meeting. We don't need all those meetings anymore. Right. So we're re-architecting and re-planning on how we come together and collaborate, right?
I do think that there's still going to be some pre-meetings, right? There's definitely needs to be the agenda setting and all of that fun stuff. But I definitely think we can minimize the number of folks, and we are much more poignant in terms of what we're trying to get accomplished and respectful of everyone's time and resources.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, as you talk about this term, you know, hybrid, you know, we're hearing this over and over again, that like literally, you know, how people are entering back into the workforce is going to be completely different than what we've seen before. Like the whole aspect of decoupling people from property, making sure that people, you know, are 100% wherever they sit. And we've even heard in a few other ones, Kyle, where, you know, people are talking about they use the term sanctioned workplaces.
Yes.
That was a new term that, you know, rather than just saying, hey, work from anywhere, there's some places we'd rather have you work from, here, here, or here. And so like for purposes even of like your offices, Jason, do you see yourself going back to the office, or do you see yourself working from home? And do you see that being something that's prevalent across your business?
I think I will continue to work from home. I have been for years. So this was not new to me and how I handled my day-to-day activities. With that said, in the sanctioned offices, that's a new term. I hadn't heard that, but I can totally see that bringing it up and bringing a future element to the work environment. And it's ironic that you bring that up, because just last week we were talking internally amongst the leadership team around, you know, folks are wanting to move, especially out of some of the big cities, San Francisco, right, which is where our headquarters are. And they're like, well, we've proven that we are more effective working from home. So I'm gonna leave San Francisco and go work with, you know, at some other remote environment, et cetera. So the conversation has been just that of, you know, how do we allow our staff to be able to do that while remaining effective? And then there's other elements that come into play associated with that. If they need to come into the office, how close do they need to be? You know, what's that commute time look like? Is it a flight? What are the tax implications? There's a lot of other things that kind of come into that conversation. And that's, I think, right, it's all very, very relevant as we look to have those conversations. But, you know, in short to your answer, I think we will have, whether you want to call them pods or, you know, specific areas that are kind of approved, I do believe that we will have that, just because there are collaboration things that, frankly, can happen better when people are in person, in my opinion, that is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, all that stuff has already been kind of proven out by like the WeWorks of the world and the shared spaces. And now it'll be interesting to see how that kind of evolves into like this corporate shared space where maybe they own the shared space themselves. Be very interesting to see that play out. And to your point earlier about people realizing that they don't need to live in big cities, I mean, you're seeing that kind of play out as well. Texas is a big winner of that from a lot of different places around the U.S. and other places as well. So definitely lots of movement. People are making big moves right now. That's what's been surprising to me, is like seeing all the big moves that people are making during this, right? During this great reset. So yeah, now next question. What role do you play in this vision of the future of work?
I think we play, and when I say we, I take the broader organization and my team. I think it's very important that we continue to play a significant role in that. And I say that because we need to understand where we're going as a country and as a world. So we need to make sure we are having a pulse on that, and then we need to make sure we have conversations with customers and partners and employees, et cetera, to be able to say, hey, this is what we're seeing out here. And then as a company, we take that data and we react on it, right? We make the product enhancements that we talked about a little earlier. We look at things and say, this is working, this is not, whether it's that hybrid model that we were talking about, sanctuary locations, et cetera. I think it's very critical. And, you know, medicine is another great thing that's come out of this, the telemedicine side of the house. So I think as we continue to evolve as, you know, a world, if you will, as we react to this pandemic, it's important that we keep a pulse on this, and that we are able to impact some of the change that's necessary. So we learn from this and can react to it.
No, absolutely. Love the messaging there, and love to see where 8x8 fits into that. More specifically, Jason, like this is really like where 8x8 is shining during these times, right? Can you talk about like some of the advancements that you guys have done, like being that single platform of like UC and contact center, and like just the way that we actually like get and retain customers, right? Can you talk a little bit about that and about the kind of the strategy you guys are making there?
Yeah, so 8x8, you know, we're an industry-leading, award-winning partner first cloud platform. On this platform, we deliver the reliable, secure, fully integrated communications, whether that's via voice, video, chat, meetings, CPaaS, and contact center. So our goal is to reduce the complexity and the cost while also fostering our collaborative work environment, work from anywhere environment, excuse me. So with that said, we really kind of play a strong role in this, as we've talked about, you know, working from home and making the pivot. 3 years ago, we were nowhere in some of these environments. You know, if we're going to talk about CPaaS, and I'll even say on the CC side of the house, we were maybe we'll say somewhere in that. You know, our goal is to be somewhere in all of these, and then eventually be preferred in all of in at the end of the day in all of these as we look to expand. So, you know, the ability to have kind of that single platform and then transition between any mode of communication, as I mentioned, the chat, video, voice, and have kind of that seamless single pane of glass to anyone in the organization is going to be a critical element as we you know, expand into the future, and then making sure it's mobile at the end of the day. So as we get into that hybrid work environment, we can leverage the tools while we're out on the road as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting about your organization, and, you know, you're one of our top in-network partners. And because of that, like, we have such like a deep understanding of your organization. You've talked about being an engineering, you know, company. You guys really are some like serious gearheads. And I know that like probably at some point in time, somebody said, hey, we've got to like zhuzh this up a little bit. But, you know, in a world of authenticity during COVID, like, I think it maybe plays to your strength, because you guys really do zero in on, you know, engineering prowess. And like, one of the things I think about is Microsoft Teams, and how you drive like voice into Microsoft Teams, and fundamentally how that plays out in a better experience and a more integrated experience. So, I mean, can you talk about like some of those things that you're doing that maybe people wouldn't understand, that maybe has not been marketed to? But we're talking here, like, we have people on this call here that are CIOs, that are CISOs. You know, they not only care about like how the customer is being impacted in terms of their own customers, but like also the engineering aspects of this as well.
Well, it's a very interesting topic that you bring up, because we are engineering first. And if you look back from, you know, where we started, right, the name comes back to 8x8. If it, you know, this could be a little trivia question, is that 8x8 actually is what a pixel is, right? And so that's where we started, was in the video codec and the pixels, etc. So it's been a big focus of us is the engineering, and making sure that as we make moves as a company, that everything works cohesively, and that it's a native environment, and that you can have that single pane of glass. And so you bring up the MS Teams. We were, you know, one of the first to announce our partnership to be able to have the voice traffic over MS Teams. One of the other ones that's really interesting right now, especially given this day and age, is our partnership with Ariaka, right? The ability to leverage SD-WAN on the back end and to actually have quality of service and to be able to specifically route voice traffic on the 8x8 platform to be able to minimize some of the latency and the disruptions, et cetera. It's a huge advantage, and as companies learn or start to look to expand and build out their infrastructure as maybe they go back into offices, it's something companies are going to have to start to look at and really play a big focus on if they haven't already. So, you know, we will continue to do that and make those investments. CPaaS is probably the most exciting thing as we look to the additional future, right, or the near future, excuse me, in terms of, you know, how do we take that data and make it actionable, and how do we have it be relevant, and then get the analytics on the back end? And so that's another big focus of ours. And large companies are really going to want to start to focus on that and be able to leverage that information.
No, yeah, no, that's great points that you bring up, Jason. I think, you know, people that are a little bit less informed, like on the surface, 8x8 is a SaaS company, but behind the scenes, there's this tremendous telecom backbone delivered through Arriaca, which, like, you know, anyone can stand up a SaaS phone system, right? But that backbone, like, sometimes I feel like it gets undervalued when really, like, that's the core, right? Like, that's the difference from using like Microsoft's direct voice system that they just stood up out of nowhere versus using a tried and true player like 8x8, right?
Yeah, I mean, software is great. Don't get me wrong. You got to have the software to be able to make it work. But if we're all being honest, if you don't have a network that can support voice calls, video calls, it's really an irrelevant piece of the equipment on your desktop or laptop, right? So it is important, incredibly important, that the network can support that. That's, you know, obviously we do stuff outside of Arriaca. I want to make sure that's clear as well. But that was just the most recent partnership where we're able to kind of dig in and have that quality of service and to be able to direct traffic accordingly.
Absolutely. Frank?
Nothing else to add. That's perfect. I mean, I think we've knocked it out of the park in terms of like engineering being the prowess and why that's so meaningful for people that are viewing this right now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Jason, you touched on CPaaS and how that's kind of like, it seems like you didn't exactly say this, but it sounds like you're saying like that's that next frontier, like that's that next thing for 8x8. So I'm putting those words in your mouth here, but like tell me a little bit about CPaaS and like why that's so exciting.
Well, I think CPaaS opens up doors that we didn't necessarily have before. I think whether it's with regard to mass communications, being able to go out, the interaction that's going to be able to go back and forth amongst the different mediums with regard to voice, video, chat, etc. I think all of that is going to come into play. And as we look at this, you know, voice, it's funny. A year ago, I probably would have said voice was kind of dying in the UC or the CC space, excuse me. But we've actually seen that's actually gone the exact opposite way, given the light of the pandemic, right? Voice has been critical, but now having that CPaaS ability and that ability to have that true platform that coexists amongst all the communications, I think is absolutely where we're going.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, great stuff. Jason, we so appreciate you being here with us today. Final words, final piece of parting guidance for us here.
I just want to thank you all for listening to the podcast, for having me on the podcast. It's been a great time. And I look forward to working with you all and hearing from every one of you.
Excellent. Excellent. Guys, go check out Jason Weezer at the 8x8 booth today at Future of Work Pavilion. Appreciate you so much, Jason. And Frank, man, another great session. Interesting to see everyone's perspective on like the future of the way that we will all be working, right?
Yeah, and there's some commonality that's starting to emerge. We can see it. I mean, great minds think alike, but there's also some differences and some different takes on it. And that's kind of the fabric of what we're looking for. So great feedback all the way around.
Thanks for listening to Dialed In. This show is brought to you by Acuerdo.io. the world's first orchestration agency for the future of work. Go check us out at Acuerdo.io. And if nothing else, remember this: to win in life, to win in business, to win in your career, it's not about being the strongest, the fastest, or the most intelligent. It's simply about being the most adaptable to change, the most dialed in.